Today I want to take some time to briefly just look back and also to take some time to look forward. This church has been in existence for 14 years, and that's longer than some, but really it's fairly young. At 14 years old, you can't drive, you can't get married, all right? We're still growing up. We're still becoming what God wants us to be. But as we look back, this church truly was started supernaturally by the Spirit of God. Pastor Newberry came here as an evangelist. He was invited here by Dr. Nevers Mumba. They had worked together and done crusades in Zambia and Zimbabwe. And so he came to do crusades in Zambia, and he was doing that for a few years. And he was meeting a certain gentleman, Mr. Kabalika, and they were chatting. And the Spirit of God came upon Pastor Newberry and this gentleman, and he began to prophesy about a church that would be started. And Pastor Newberry had been a pastor at a certain point in his life. Now, my wife and I knew the Newberries at that time. And they had come down to South Africa. They were actually staying in our house. And they're going to a convention for a week. And he began to share with us and with others that God had called them to start a church. And honestly, we thought, well, that's interesting, because an evangelist is an evangelist. And they are wired in a certain way. And we thought, well, praise the Lord. But kind of in the back of my mind, we thought, well, I guess we'll see how this goes. And every time we would see them after that, we'd visit, or they would come down to South Africa, and they would be so excited, and they would talk about the church. Oh, we've just hit the 200 barrier. Oh, we've just gotten 300 people. And they were so excited, and you could tell that this was something that was alive and burning in their heart. And in the year 2000, as God called my wife and I to start coming up to Zambia to have pastors' conferences, I would stop in and see the Newberries, and we would chat and we would talk, and sometimes till the wee hours of the morning. If any of you ever knew Pastor Newberry, he could chat like no one, and that anointing has not left his life just yet, all right? And we would just hear his heart and sometimes pray together. And he would ask me to sometimes speak in the church. In 2000, when the church was at Mulungushi, with a few hundred people. And then the next year, as the church moved to the Oasis. Now, it's kind of interesting to note that when the church began meeting at Mulungushi, the fee was a million kwacha per Sunday. Now it's over 20 million per day. All right. How many of you know times have changed in Lusaka and in Zambia? That vision that was started was really something that came to them in the year 1982. And he and his wife were in Zimbabwe, and friends of theirs, Ron and Johanna Kuzmal, were missionaries, and they were living in Johannesburg, and they would travel in southern Africa and in different places. And they were talking one night, and about 01 in the morning, the Spirit of God came upon them, and they began to prophesy. And they began to speak about a light that would come, and they drew on a serviette, southern Africa, and they put a dot where Lusaka was. And neither one of them had even been to Zambia. And they drew light that would go from the north to the south, to the east and the west. And from this place, there would be light. That was 1982. And 15 years later, that vision began to come to pass. And I believe that vision is not just for Miracle Life, but it is for the nation of Zambia. It is for other churches and other ministries, that this nation is called to be a light. And it is called to influence, and it is called to touch and to raise the standard in so many, so many ways. And so the church was started. And as we look back on the journey, there are many things that we could talk about and things that have changed. Obviously, the venue of the church has changed. It started at the Newberry's house, the Pomodzi, Mulungushi, the Oasis. Have you noticed that there is no more Oasis? It's been flattened, all right? It's not there anymore. And then obviously God, many, many of you know how God helped us to get this land and to build this building. We could talk about that, but how many of you know that a building is not a church? Because our old church, they tore down the bricks, but they didn't tear us down. We're still alive. We could talk about other things of growth. I know when my wife and I came, and Pastor Newberry said, look, we'd ask you to come consider, you know, working here and taking this church. And so we said, well, let's look at everything. And I remember looking at the finances of the church. And obviously it was where it was. But from that time, that was 2003. Now, 8 years later, the finances of the church have risen 10 times. 10 times. And a lot of that is because of you. Amen. God has increased you and you've come forward. And so we could talk about that. We could talk about the building. But I believe there's a greater memorial today that we need to remember. The children of Israel, as they would walk from one place to another and as God would do things, God would tell them, stop. And I want you to build a memorial. And they would take stones and they would make a pile so that they could remember what God did for them in the future. And as their children would walk by, they could say, this is when God brought water out of a rock. This is when God saved us. This is when God delivered us. And so it became a memorial of something that had happened in the past. Now, as much as we could have different times of memorials, I believe the memorial that God wants to celebrate today is your changed life. The changed lives of those who have come into Miracle Life and have been affected and in one way are going in another direction. The real change and the real blessing is the memorial of who you are. 1 Peter chapter 2 says this, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see, you are the stones. You are the living stones. You are the epistles written by God and read by men. And as we look past and as we look in the back of our life and our history, I think of different people's lives who have been touched and who have been changed. I think of the night, perhaps maybe 3 years ago, where we were having a special meeting and someone had come up and we thought maybe they wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I didn't know this. I'd met them once or twice, but I didn't know them personally. Muna Singh. Muna's not with us today. He's racing his car. All right. And many people knew Muna from that period. And so he came up and I began to talk to him. And I said, well, what do you want the Lord to baptize? He said, no, I want to know Jesus. He said, I want God to live on the inside of me. And what I didn't know was that he had been raised as a Sikh. And a Sikh is, they have a monotheistic theology. That is that there is one God. But he had started going to some Bible studies and he began to seek the Lord and he began to pray to his God. If Jesus is the way to you, please reveal that to me. And guess what? Jesus did. And as he came into the kingdom of God and into the life of this church, I was talking to his wife last week and she said that on Wednesdays and Fridays, we knew as a family we wouldn't be seeing Dad because he would just go get drunk. Now, the family has a dad on Wednesdays and Fridays and Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and every day of the week. And God is using him. And I was with him the other day and he was at his shop and I'd gone there, I think something to do with my car, and he has a Bible study with all of 30 of his workers, teaching and preaching the God every single day. So God took someone who didn't even know who he was and made something very beautiful out of his life. I remember when I first started visiting Miracle Life from South Africa, I think one time Pastor Newberry was gone. And so he asked me to go out to eat with a young man. And he was a single guy and he was from South Africa, Johan Richter. What's the middle name? Pretorius Richter. He was single, living here, and I began to hear his story of how he was just a single person living here in Lusaka, didn't know Jesus, and how he was addicted to gambling, and how he would take his paycheck, and some of the casinos where they're located in town, he would go in one night, and he would leave with nothing. Some nights he would leave with more, but he was literally addicted. But yet God changed his life, and he began to become a part of the life of this church. And he and Mark Dring would come at 05 in the morning at Mulungushi and set up chairs and sweep up rice from the wedding receptions. And he told me one time he drove to South Africa straight for 24 hours and listened to teaching tapes all the way there. And he said he felt like flying through the roof to be with Jesus. And so as the Spirit of God and the Word of God changed his life, now this person is married to a beautiful lady and have two wonderful kids, and God is using him in the business world. Amen. A life that was addicted and trapped by sin is now something that God is using in our nation. Amen. I think of people who were broken when they came here. Some that I won't mention the names just for privacy's sake, but people that Pastor William and I, my wife and I, have worked with, marriages that were devastated, literally finished. Where I think of a marriage where there were multiple affairs, multiple pregnancies. And today, these people are in love. These people are being used by God. Many, many such cases like that of marriages and lives that have been restored. I think of people who have overcome addictions of alcohol and drugs. I think of people who have overcome very hard times in their lives. I think of a young man, and some of these, I hope it's okay if I don't mention their name, but a young man when I first arrived here who was so devastated by a situation in his life, his roommate came and found me at 6 a.m. and said he's going to commit suicide. And so I rushed over to his flat, and yes, he was upset, but he's not upset today. God is using him in the business world. His life is full of the love and the life of God. I think of a young man, the Zambian flag came in here, was Mundia. Her brother, Don't, was a young man that grew up in our church, and that whole family did. And I remember at a singles meeting that we were having a number of years ago, Don't stood up and we were talking about sexual purity, and he stood up as a single man. He says, I don't know if it's worth it. He said, sometimes it's just so frustrating when everyone in my workplace is just sleeping around. And he talked about going into the washroom where they would put in just large amounts of condoms. He says, in 2 days, they're finished. He says, and I'm not taking any of them, but all my buddies are. He says, is it worth it? And I told him, don't, it's worth it. And people got around and prayed for him. And when I married him a couple of years ago, I married him as a virgin to a lady who's a virgin. And God is using him in government. And God has increased his life. God took him as a young man and has now made him a real man, following the word and the will of God. I think of those that are not here today. I think of those that are in other countries that God has maybe promoted them or moved them. I think of Pastor Newberry who is reaching the world as an evangelist again. I think of Mrs. Gertrude Chawatama that was asked as a judge to go to Kenya to help bring reconciliation to a hurt and divided nation, and she's been there for a few years. I think of her sister Kathy, that God opened up a door in World Health, and she's in Geneva there. I just saw her daughter just a couple of Sundays ago. And how God is using our members around the world. One of the members of our building committee, Colonel Makumba, who is now stationed in Malawi. The very first Brigadier General in the Army who is a lady, Brigadier General Joyce Puta, is in Russia. God has promoted and we prayed for her. And God has sent some of our members around the world. I got a letter from, actually I got a phone call first. Some of you remember Gabby Fernandez, who was with the UN, is Liberian by birth, and was here for many, many, many years. And he kept trying to leave Zambia, and it seemed like God didn't let him until this building was built. Because Gabby had more of a vision for this building, I think, than I did. I remember one time at an AGM, we were talking about what we were going to do and where we were going to go. And he just stood up and he said, Pastor, I don't care what it costs. We're going to build, maybe we'll build the Crystal Cathedral. And he was just full of vision and life. And he was part of the fundraising team. And he put his money where his mouth was. I can tell you that. And he wrote me and he called me. But then he said, Pastor, it's so good to talk to you. I'm thankful for God's faithfulness and to hear of the exciting continuation of his work through you and the church in Zambia. As of April the 1st, I assumed work with the Ministry of Planning and Economic Affairs as the National Coordinator for Social Protection in the nation of Liberia. Many of you know their history and how that country is being rebuilt. And God is using one of our former members to help rebuild that nation. He said, it is somewhat of a gargantuan task, but I believe as the Lord's assignment, he will guide me and give me the necessary skills to achieve success. he and his wife Allison that he met here, Allison from Uganda that helped in our children's ministry. He said, we're fellowshipping at a non-denominational church, Liberian Christian Fellowship, under a dynamic young pastor. Hopefully he's more dynamic than me. All right. The worship team is not quite like Miracle Life, but great potential. They are fundraising for musical equipment to upgrade the existing ones, and we're helping them to do fundraising. We cherish the fond memories of Zambia and all of our friends. Please pass our love to your family and the church family. Let me stop here once more. I give you my love. And so God strategically takes some of our folks and he moves them around. Today I also think of some of the great, great men and great women who God didn't just move them to another country. Today they're in heaven. And that as I would stand over their casket and commit their body to the earth, but yet knowing that their spirit is with the Lord. And perhaps we will continue. Obviously, some of us will take that step. And eventually one day we will all take that step. But I think of their life and their contributions and what they meant and the lives that they left. And I think of the fruit that remains in their life. And the Bible says that when we leave loving God and we leave serving God, Revelation says it this way, how blessed it is to die like that. And I think of the blessings of those that have gone on and yet they are with Jesus. And those of us that remain, we have a work to do, and yet our heart still may be saddened and burdened by those who have gone on. And so, so many of those, I wish were still here. I wish their life was still giving life here. But we must basically take up their mantle and go forward. And knowing that we will see them again. And that our time here, the Bible says, is just a vapor. It's just a short time. I think of all the young people who have grown up in this church. And it's interesting to know that the young people that are leading now were kids years ago. The leaders in our youth in Impact right now, Chungu Masuka and Mundia, when Pastor Haley and I arrived here, they were kids. They were young people. They were in Powerhouse. Johan and Manyo were teaching them, so much so that when Chungu got married last year, Johan came and I said, how does it feel? I said, you raised him up as a youth. He said, I know, Pastor, I almost cried today. I think he did cry. All right. I'll tell that on you. But to see young people becoming now adults. I remember the day, probably six years ago, where Chungu was just, he just loved music and he was borrowing guitars. And my wife said, you know what? I'm just going to give him my guitar. And my wife had a beautiful guitar. She didn't really use it a whole lot. And so he took that guitar, and that guitar helped write that song that we just sang. And to see what God can do with young people. And to see young single people who are now married. And people that I counseled in premarital to dedicate their babies and to watch them build houses and to see God promote them and take them forward. These are the living stones that we can be thankful for God today that came up through the life of this church. I look at people that started in somewhere in business and God kept moving them and stepping them and carrying them. People that were junior lawyers are now partner lawyers. People that were lieutenants are colonels, and how God has promoted so many people as God's faithfulness has been working in their lives. I think of a young man who, he wasn't a young man, he was just a tiny little boy, and he would at the old building, he would always come up to see me and he'd hug me, and his parents said, Pastor, he always says when he grows up he's going to be a pastor like Pastor Walker. And now, 6 years later, his parents say that sometimes he just goes around the house preaching sermons. The hand of God is on his life. He's just a tiny little kid. Amen. Maybe that'll be the transition service one day. Who knows? I don't know. But God is working in our young people's lives as God brings healing and restoration into their lives. Also today, I look back with some sadness. And there are people that were here at some point who have fallen away, who are not serving God today. that they had taken steps with God and their life took another detour. And people who maybe have stopped or who have that growth process isn't working in their life. And my prayer is that the same grace that brought them years ago will be the grace that brings them back and the grace that takes them forward. Amen. And so we have much, much to be thankful for. And I saw this verse the other day, and I think for me this captures when people ask me, you know, what lights you up, or, you know, what excites you. And I know for my wife, for both of us, this is something that we can say, this captures our heart. And that is in 3 John verse 3. There are no chapters. It's just one chapter. But 3 John 3 says, I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Message Bible puts it this way. Nothing could make me happier than getting reports that my children continue diligently in the way of truth. You see, it's a path. It's a journey. We can't stop. We have to go forward. But for my wife and I, when we see people from where they've come and where God has brought them because of the grace of God and the Word of God, there's no greater joy than to see that. Now, that journey that God has taken people on, those steps of maturity, sometimes steps of healing, steps of repentance, steps of restoration, steps of discovering their gifts, those steps still need to be made by each and every one of us. We need to take those steps with Jesus. And as God has brought us from somewhere, it's time that we carry on going to where we need to go. We can look backwards with thankfulness. But today I want to invite you to look ahead with expectancy. Now, I didn't really realize this, but and you know that I don't preach a lot of sermons on numbers. This number is 3 and 4 and 5 and 11 is one less than the number of this. And the year 2011 means so and so. But I do find it interesting that Pastor Newberry pastored this church for 7 years. My wife and I have been here for 7 years. Amen? And I believe the next 7 years is going to be a time of fruitfulness. It's going to be a time of destiny. It's going to be a time where this church becomes what we've always been meant to become. We've had to move around. We've had to find land. We've had to do certain things. I believe God has structured. He's set us up. He's brought people here and around. And now is the time to cross over to the other side for the next 7 years and for the next part of our journey. Now, what is it going to look like? Well, I believe in many ways it's going to be a lot of the same of who we already are. And that is that, yes, we're an international church. We're a church that loves people. A church that sees God's value in a human life. Whether that human life is broken, whether that human life is educated, regardless of what that life looks like, it has value to God. And it has a destiny to God. That we value and love people. That we are a church that attempts with everything that is within us to do things with excellence. And that is, if you're going to do it right. This was so blessed me. I got this text last night. Alanani, he's our rapper, in-house rapper guy, you know. And then Chungu, one of our youth leaders. And they were in Namibia with a group of young people. And they were there at the University of Namibia all week long preaching. And they had a big, huge concert. And this is what he wrote me last night from Namibia. He said, thank you for being an example in doing things with excellence. God's excellence does attract people. Last night was awesome and the Spirit of God did His thing. I am glad to be part of a church that has a mission for Africa and sends out missionaries. Good day, Alanani. And we will continue to be a church of excellence because excellence does draw people. But just drawing them is not enough. What are we going to do with them? What are we going to do with the stones that God brings here? We're a church that believes in developing people and training people and helping you achieve your leadership potential in life. A church that believes both in spiritual and numerical growth. You can have both. And I believe we will have both. We are a church that is committed to missions. It's been one of the greatest joys of my heart in the last 7 years as our church has sent out missionaries. And if you've been here, you've seen when we've prayed, one of our receptionists, Womba Kentamoya. Yes, she's related to Pastor William Kentamoya. His niece. She was the receptionist at the church. She went to Bible school and she has a gift in her life. And for the past number of years, she's lived overseas. Our church has supported her. Mercy Peary, that is now the chief accountant for YWAM in England as a missionary doing the will of God. Basil and Karen Taylor. I remember working with Basil and Karen in their premarital classes and watching them get married and seeing the babies born. And now they are in the nation of Kosovo as sent ones from this church. And then I just got also yesterday an email from Ruben Cobwe, who is working with, and we give his reports as he comes back, translating the Bible into the language so that Muslim people can read it and hear it in the nation of Tanzania. And he said, he went to an international conference, and he said, while I was there, the international board appointed me to the position of the regional director of the southern part of Africa. So he's been promoted not just as the country director, but the entire international director. I suggested to them that starting as an assistant would be good for me. That way, taking the full responsibility of the region while the work in Tanzania is at the point where it demands our attention. So here's a young man who was given a position as a regional director and said, no, I'd rather be the assistant for now. How many people do you know that ask for a demotion before they get the promotion? This is a huge task, but we are trusting God to accomplish through us what only He can do. I do not know if Miracle Life realizes the impact they have made and are making in Africa by sending us. I look forward to seeing you and to learn. Thank you for the difference you've made in our life. We found Ruben in the little town of Mpulungu as just one of our translators. He was helping us up there, and the hand of God is on his life, and God has sent him. We bought him a truck. We've helped him, and part of that fruit is on us. We believe in sending people to the nations. Amen? Tell your neighbor, it might be you next. We believe in families. We believe that a husband should love his wife and only his wife. We believe that young people can stay pure and unspotted from the world. We believe that young people can be virgins when they get married. And if you're not, you can start today. Amen? We believe that God's values work in 2011. We believe in the family. And we believe in the supernatural power of God. That bodies can be healed, lives can be restored, that God can do what no man can do. And so we will continue to be all of what we've already been. But what are some of the things where God wants to take us? What will we become? Now, just in this week's board meeting, we talked about a strategic plan for Miracle Life. And many of the different ministries have one. But just to say, Pastor, where are we going? But also, how do we get there? What are the steps that we need to take? And I truly believe that in the next 12 to 24 months, God is going to produce, God is going to unveil Miracle Life 2.0. A whole new version. A lot of what we've been, but a whole lot better. Amen? A lot of the bugs are going to be worked out. No more crashes. Amen? And more functional. And that we become a church where whoever you are, wherever you are, when you come to this church, you get to take steps with God. I know, for instance, there's someone that comes to our church from time to time, and they're of the Islam faith, and they haven't yet crossed the line of faith in Jesus, but they're coming and they're kind of checking it out. That we would draw people like that. People who are interested in God, but don't know Him yet. But as people cross that line of faith, that they would grow and they would be nurtured. and they would not be forgotten. But that when someone crosses the line of faith in Jesus, they would be invaded with the grace of God. They would be supported by other believers. They would be strengthened and helped that they don't fall away. And that as their lives begin to grow, they begin to discover their gifts and their anointings. And God begins to use them. And each and every one of us take steps and fulfill our destiny. That why God has left us on the earth, we become that person. And we begin to live out of that life. And that our church will be structured on purpose at every step to help people become who Jesus wants them to be. That we don't just have church to have church, but we come and we're here for a reason. And that you have a reason to help someone else, and you become part of that process. Sometimes I've heard people refer to, and I think it's a good thing that some people say, well, Lord, we want to be an Acts chapter 2 church. And I understand what they're saying and the concepts that are in that. But I believe also that God is calling us to be an Ephesians 4 church. Would you turn there with me? An Ephesians 4 church. And there's a passage here that I believe gives us an incredible picture of what a church should be, of what a church can be, and really what our church must be in Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 4, there are gifts that were given to the body of Christ. One of them is a pastor, the fivefold ministry. And then there's a reason why these gifts were given. In verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, that we would no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I believe that's a church we can become. I think there are parts of that happening now. I think there are pockets of that. But I want to see a tidal wave of Acts 2 and Ephesians chapter 4 come into our church, and that we do our part. And we find the fulfillment and the growth as we become like Jesus and we allow Him to grow us to the place that He wants for us. I believe it's happening. Now, how is it going to happen? Well, I can tell you, I'm not smart enough to make it happen. Everything that we're doing, every step that we're taking, we've never taken before. So it must be by the Spirit of God. It must be with the mind of God. It must be with God's strategy and with God's hand-picked and anointed people who are ready for the task. When I came up for Mrs. Newberry's funeral in 2002, I was sitting on the front row of the old building with Tracy Newberry. She was sitting to my right. And I was standing there sitting on the front row, and her body was in a white casket. And I knew she was in heaven. But the Spirit of God was so present in that service, and it was such a really rich time in the presence of God. But I had this realization that she's in another place and that she's watching what's going on right now. She's in heaven. And I went back to the guest house where I was staying in Kabalonga, and the Spirit of God was just so strong on my life. And I began to pray in other tongues, and I began to just see in my mind's eye, like a relay race, a baton. There were no people. It was just a baton on a dirt track. And the baton was just laying there. And as I was seeing this, I began to ask, somebody's got to pick this up. Who's going to pick this up? And I had a sense that perhaps this was Mrs. Newberry's assignment. And so 2 weeks later, I gave that charge to Miracle Life, those of you that were there. But a year later, when God called my wife and I to be here, I realized, and God showed me, that that vision was not for Miracle Life. It was for me. It was for my wife. And he was asking us, will you take the vision? The vision that does not belong to a person, but it is committed to people. It is a heavenly vision. It comes from God of what this church is to be and it is to become. And I want to let you know that for me and my wife, we've got the baton. And we are not letting go. And we are going to run. And we are going to run till it's time to finish. And I'm asking you to join us. I'm asking you to run with us. And to cast aside every weight and every sin. And to run the race that is set before us. We can't run another church's race. We can't accomplish somebody else's job. But we must do what God has called us to do. Now, what I'd like us to do, and we've done this from time to time, but as we go forward as a church, what God wants to do here is only by Him. And as a church, from time to time, we have different groups that pray, and I lead a group on a Tuesday morning, and we pray for this church. But what I want us to do is to stand to our feet right now. I want us to stand to our feet, and I want you to find 3 or 4 or 5 people, really no more than 5 or 6, and I want you just to form a circle and just begin to, you may know them, you may not know them, but I want us to right now pray for the future of Miracle Life Family Church, that we will become and that we will be, that God will give us the wisdom, the strategy, that God will raise up the people, and that we will become who we need to be in Jesus' name. And just agree right now with my wife and I, our staff. We've been talking about this. We've been praying about this. We're talking about it as leaders. And right now, let's just ask the Lord, Father, make us the church that you see us to be. Lord, may we become that. I'd also ask, and I would covet your prayers. Pray for my wife and I. Pray for Pastor William and Clara. Pray for other leaders in the church right now. And let's just take a few minutes to lift up our church to heaven right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's just lift up our hands and rejoice right now. Let's just thank Him for where we've been. Oh, but let's thank Him for where we're going. For the glory of the former house is not greater than where we're going. We're going from faith to faith and from glory to glory in Jesus' name. Praise team, would you please join us on the stage, Sims? Just come up right now. As we get ready to go today, today has been a time of reflection and time of looking to the Lord. But also we want to invite anyone that is here And as we talked about people who have yet to cross the line of faith in Jesus, if you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, that's me. I've never given my heart to Jesus Christ. What a great day to do so. Maybe you're one of those types of people I was talking about that you went the wrong way in life. And instead of following Jesus, your life got so distracted by sin and rebellion. And today is the time to come home. Today is the time to make that turn back to God, just like the prodigal son did. If that's you on either one of those situations, would you just come forward right now? Would you just come forward if you don't know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus, or you need to come home to Him, just step out of your chair right now. Just step out. Just step out and come to Jesus. Anyone at all? If you want to lift up your hand, anyone? If that's you? I know this is a family celebration, but we don't want anyone to miss Jesus today. If you're here and you don't know Him. Anyone? Hallelujah. God bless you. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Amen. Pastor William, would you come? We want to take some time to pray with you. God has He's got a destiny for your life. And this is the first part of that. And so I want you just to pray with Pastor William here. And God is going to come into your life. And He's going to change it forever, eternity. God bless you so much. Amen. All right. Well, let's let this be our dismissal song. Our life is a miracle. And if you are in need of a miracle in your life, this is a great church to get a miracle in. God has done miracles in my life since I've been here. In my family's life. And there are a whole lot more miracles where those came from.